Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
To another episode of G-Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what you just bought, or what we just bought, rather, and what you might need to buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss, and today I am joined by Josh Gondelman. He is the writer and producer of Showtime's, Jesus and Marrow, and he's the host of the podcast, Make My Day. He's an old friend of mine. I'm happy he's here. Josh, hello.
Hello. It is so nice to see you.
It's so nice to see you.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course.
How are you?
Oh my gosh, I'm, you know, as good as anyone can be right
sure.
now.
I meant to ask this before, and obviously I would not insist you keep it in your audio program, but how is the puppy?
The puppy is okay. So if I end up keeping it in, I feel like I owe an explanation, which is that puppies eat everything, and it turns out mine ate something that we're waiting for her to shit out. So she's fine. We have been assured that she is fine. But it was sort of a long evening. It really, and you have a dog. You have a senior dog.
Oh, yeah.
Busy. So you're used to dog antics.
Yeah. And the dog stresses of like, you're so attuned to their behavior. And then they do something that's like slightly weird. And you're like, oh no, what could this possibly be?
Totally.
And they can't tell you.
No. And they look at you like kind of so sad, or at least that's how I feel. And I've only known this dog for like 3 weeks, you know? She's only been under my care for a handful of time. And the thing is that this, you know, she cries so much and she's very attached to me. So like when I leave her eyesight, she cries. But like a couple days ago, I left her eyesight and she didn't cry because she was like doing the right thing. You know, she's growing. She's learning how to self-soothe. Yeah. Like, but I got upset. I was like, something wrong with her? She's not crying.
Yeah, for sure.
It's very difficult. It's very difficult to tell what they need. But turns out that like the vet was very reassuring. She was like, usually it's if they're eating and like drinking and like that all seems okay. Usually they ate something that's making their stomachs feel weird and it will come out in their poop in like a few cycles. And I was like, cool.
Great. Love to go to the doctor to be like, just wait for an animal to poop.
And yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Like, great. Sure. Like, send me the bill. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Please.
Right. And I just feel like that's what happened. Like, that's how I feel like going to the doctor for anything that's not like, like visible on my person illness where they're like, yeah, just like, I don't know, wait it out. And I'm like, yeah, this is like $70 for you to tell me like, I don't know, man.
I think they shouldn't charge you if the tests are negative, no matter what it's a test for or how involved it is. If they do all the tests and they're like, nope, you don't have the thing I thought, then it's like,
That's on them.
No doubt. That's
totally.
How I feel about it. It's like, oh we did a strep test and you don't have strep and you just feel like garbage. I guess I guessed wrong. I'll take that. And it's like,
right.
You will, doctor. You should.
Wow. Change.org petition coming right up. Like,
I mean,
that.
Obviously, our healthcare system is so bad and it should all just be provided for people through taxing the super wealthy and corporations. However, under the system we have now, just a gentle reform we could enact is if the test is negative, it's free.
I love that. I'm going to get Biden on the horn. I'll tweet at him a few times. See if he's looking. Joe, we did it, Joe. That is such a good point because it's like, I'm not a doctor. I'm trusting you.
Yes.
And if you're wrong, why am I paying for that?
Yeah.
And how do I know you're not just giving me tests to get my money?
Also, I'll tell you this. If the test is positive, that's tough news to hear. That one's on the house too.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It comes down to, I guess we could call it healthcare for all. I mean,
yeah, I think this is, I think, yeah, we want to call it either way, free testification.
Yeah. Either way, that strep test is on the house. Free, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's really, that's so, I love that. I think you should run with that. That should be your thing.
I'll pay you for your time, like a therapist or like a plumber.
Yes.
But the materials and the, yeah, that's all on you.
Feels like it needs to be built into their overhead.
Yeah, 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 yeah. You get paid an hourly rate.
Right.
Like a babysitter.
Right, exactly. You're a babysitter. So we are now, you know, in mid-February-ish, kind of. I don't know. It's like February 7th. That feels mid to me. It's a short month.
Yeah.
We're almost a year into the pandemic. Like, what, how's it going for you, really? Like, where are you at mentally?
I'm, you know, I've had such a comparatively fortunate experience this year where I live with my wife, Maris, who you know,
yes,
who's the best. And we have had a very supportive and like loving year together. We haven't like gotten on each other's nerves. We haven't, we have a little office that I'm in right now in our apartment so that like we kind of switch off when we have to do work stuff that we have to talk for. I've been employed the whole time. So like my needs are met physically and emotionally and like financially. But my birthday was in January and I'm not like I don't like worry about aging that much. But I do worry. I was like, I really love to be around people on my birthday. I'm like a pretty big extrovert to begin with. And so my birthday and then going into the long weekend where I like didn't plan anything. So I was just like at home, the two, and Maris had some work stuff to do. So I was just kind of like at home, like, this is so extra lonely.
Yeah.
This week. So I've bounced back from that, but I'm just like really acutely missing people. And also as like I'm in my 30s. I don't have pre-existing conditions, comorbidities. I'm like probably the last person in line to get the vaccine. So like I haven't even been thinking about it. Like I've just been like, oh, it's nice that it's so good that other people are getting it. And I'm like my sister who's a medical professional has it, has received both shots. But like I have not even begun to consider like when that will enter my life.
Same.
So I'm just I'm a little like burnt out.
I think, yeah, I totally feel that. I'm in the same exact boat where I'm like, I understand. Yeah, I'm totally in a good, like all of my needs are met. It doesn't mean, you know, someone will always have it worse. Someone will always have it better. Like we can acknowledge that this has been a hard year, even if it hasn't been hard in all the ways it could have been hard. But it is so, I'm kind of in the same boat where I'm like, I understand that a vaccine exists. I don't think I will have it. Like I will be I honestly feel like I'm the last person they're going to call. Be like, okay, we have one dose left. Come and get your shot.
That's like exactly how I feel too, is that they'll like every person, and then they'll be like, oh, this cat looks kind of sickly. We should give the cat a vaccine. And then they're like, oh, Josh, we forgot about Josh.
They're really literally going to be like, anyone like between 31 and like 36.
Yeah.
Like, come on down. We'll see what we have.
I feel like I'm like in the airplane zone, like.
Yeah, you're in zone 4.
Zone 7. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
right.
I'm like, I'm not even going to stand up until they call zone 5. And that's where I am with everything.
You're still literally online at the JFK Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes, that's like, exactly.
You're I'm not
like,
even bothered.
And they're starting to call and I'm like, don't worry about it. This doesn't concern me yet. Every person I've seen receiving a shot has made me like 0.01% less stressed, except O.J. Simpson.
Right. What?
Where I was like, I guess for public health, obviously he's like in an age group where he's probably susceptible to this. And like, we do need the like total.
We know he's not a big rule follower. So that he's vaccinated.
We need total vaccination, right? Like we need for everyone's health. Everyone has to get it. But it like didn't occur to me that I was behind O.J. Simpson in this line. And I was like, Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Sure. That was the one that I was like a little, that was so funny to me that I was like,
so
I can't
funny.
Be mad. This is like a public health issue.
Right.
But it is like, just don't post Damn. It, Juice. Yeah. Just like, get your shot quietly, man.
Yeah. I saw the tweet that was like, wow, like, I forget the wording and I'll find it and put it in the show notes or whatever. I'm sure you saw it too, but I was like, I stay up late, like worrying about things I said in high school. I'm yes. like, OJ Simpson's out here, like getting the vaccine, yep. posting about it, like not a care in the world, living his life.
Yep.
Yeah. Truly. Good for him. Truly. Like haunting.
A thing I did not expect. I keep having like, everything just feels weirder in the past year. So like that obviously is like pandemic adjacent. I had, the former bass player for Metallica reached out to me to try to buy the login information for this parody Twitter account that I used to run.
The Seinfeld one?
The Seinfeld one.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he like sent me an Instagram DM and then posted on a picture like, check your private messages.
Wait, what does he want it for?
I don't know. And
I feel like you got to give it to him.
Well, my thought, that I hope he doesn't hear this. And
yeah, he's a big listener, actually.
He might. I don't know. I thought I knew some things about him, but man, he really turned my perception on its head. he was like, I would like to have, to purchase this. Or no, he was like, I was wondering if you're still going to use it. If not, I would like to take it over. I might be open to paying you for it. And so I kind of was like, look, we're kind of happy with this. Like myself and Jacqueline Moore, who co-wrote it with me. I said, we're pretty content to like, let this sit as like a fun time capsule of this like era when we were doing this. So like, we're not really super motivated to like sell. And I was like, if he really wants it, he'll make some big offer and just be like,
yeah,
well, what if I gave you, I don't know how much money,
and yeah, what would be your like okay number,
Jason Newsted, if you're listening to this. So I was like really like, okay, here's the thing, what I'm worried about, this is my real worry, Jason Newsted, if you're listening, confirm or deny this, I'm concerned that he just wanted it because it has a lot of followers, and then he was going to turn it into like a marketing for like a line of basses that he endorses or something.
And honestly, I think that's probably correct.
And I think people, not that like, not that that's wrong to do, but I'm like, I knew people would complain to us about it. And totally. So it would have to be worth not only like losing this thing that was like kind of a fun, silly, collaborative exercise that we both had fun doing and like really did a lot for our careers weirdly, but it would also be like so many people, like hundreds of thousands of people being confused and irritated and like blaming it rightfully on us. So
that's very like, nice of
it
you
has
to
be worth that fallout.
I understand that, and that's very nice of you to be so thoughtful about the audience that you and Jacqueline sort of curated like almost 10 years ago now, I guess. Yes. It'd be 2012 or 2011, 2012, which is really crazy. It would, yeah, because it's 2021 now.
2012,
wow.
Yeah, when it started. So it's like, I
love the idea that maybe he just wants to like give writing modern day Seinfeld scenarios a whirl.
Honestly, it would be so funny to me. And it was like really a charming thought to me that he was like, I just love Seinfeld. I would love that.
Yeah. What if Jerry, like, got the coronavirus vaccine? Like, what would that look like? Guy from Metallica.
Yeah, exactly. And he's, just his estimation of like, Kramer thinks he has a lead on vaccine distribution.
Right. Yeah.
So there's like a whole episode where they're in line to get vaccines, and at the end they like run out and they're all frustrated.
Yeah, they're like the last people. They're literally the last people online.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I actually kind of want to see you if he ever circles back, I think you need to say like, the terms of the sale are that you would continue to carry on the spirit of the account.
Yeah. That yeah.
I love that.
So it's just been like a weird year.
It has been. Yeah, that's so weird. That's so strange.
So strange.
In the same vein, so weirdly, those listening, one of the things that Josh and I have in common is that we both had very successful parody Twitter accounts.
That's right.
At the same exact time. And so we were on a bunch of like roundup lists together.
Oh, yeah.
Very exciting. Also, I had the account Your Way message, which was just like a nostalgia account for 2005 that I started 7 years after 2005, which is wild. But yeah, like we, you know, that helped my career a lot. It kind of like was a proof that I knew what I was doing with the internet, and it like did all, you know, the fun things. But in the same vein as the guy from Metallica, I don't know if I ever told you this, but one night in 2013, I get a tweet from Gucci Mane, and he's like, on Your Away message, and he's like, follow me back. And then like, it's the legit account. And all of a sudden, my replies are like all of these Gucci Mane fans being like, follow him back. Like, what are you doing? And I,
How dare you disrespect Gucci Mane?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what
with
the
your
fuck?
Hesitance.
Yeah, right. Like, this should take you a second. And so I follow him. He starts DMing me. And I think at the time, I thought he was in jail. Maybe he had like just gotten out of jail. Mm-hmm. But he was like, I love the account. I love Away messages. And it's still to this day. I was like, cool. And he was like, yeah, I just want to let you know. Like, I love Away
so
messages.
Sweet.
But I don't know if it was really, like, I guess it was really him. I don't know, like, why someone would hack Gucci Mane's account and then
just
force
give
themselves.
Compliments to parody, yeah, Twitter
to
accounts.
Parody accounts. Yeah, exactly. But like, it feels like a fever dream. And I don't even think I have, like, I had a screenshot. I think I like emailed it to my cousin. So it like lives somewhere in my Gmail, like, yeah, in JPEG form. But it was one of those things where I woke up the next day being like, what? Like, what?
Yeah.
And like, you know, in 2012, the internet is something else. And you're kind of thinking, like, is this one of my friends? Like, is there an app where you can like fake being a celebrity, a verified celebrity or whatever? But no, I mean, to this day, there's no evidence that says it wasn't Gucci Mane who
Gucci
said,
Mane. Yeah.
I love Away
that it was
messages.
Like, that it was like a Canal Street fake Gucci Mane.
Yeah, right. The underground, like behind the curtain Gucci Mane.
Goosey Mame. It's like, just like the off brand.
Yeah. With like the ice cream tattoo, but like a like three scoops.
It's frozen
not
yogurt.
One.
It's like,
yeah,
soft
exactly.
serve.
Yeah, like a 16 handles cup on his face. that is, but it makes me think like, hey, like what, you know, maybe a celebrity's biggest dream is just doing parody Twitter accounts.
It's so funny. I like
forget
that it doesn't occur to me that the celebrities, I think because largely they aren't, but that they're just like moving through the world, like watching stuff on TV and like listening to things.
Yeah.
So it's so funny. Like, you know, you see it every once in a while where like a celebrity like reads, you see a picture of them like reading someone, the book written by someone, you know, or like,
yes,
you know, like that's like a familiar one for me. Or like you find out they're a fan of a podcast or something. But it's
yes.
so it's always so funny that it's like, oh, yeah, I guess Gucci Mane probably has favorite things that he reads on Twitter, or like
yeah.
or that Jason Newsted of formerly of Metallica has like thoughts about Seinfeld or doesn't.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
like it just is so funny to me. Not that I think about famous people in a dehumanizing way. I just that's one of those things that I don't consider that often. It's like, oh
no,
yeah,
totally.
Because you think of them as like, okay, they're in movies or on TV or they make music, or like maybe they see a cool band and are like
yeah.
in VIP for a band, but
right.
you never think about like yeah, like that level of like, oh yeah, what is
engaging in the world,
yeah, like
yeah.
what are they fans of,
right? You always kind of imagine that they sort of like unplug their cord and tuck themselves into a box until
yeah.
it's their next like concert. And like,
especially
well, that's why I,
funny stuff. Like,
yes.
I especially don't. I like. I always think of celebrities as like they like look watch awards movies and you know, maybe are like go to an independent bookstore or a
yeah.
museum. But it's very funny, like when you remember, like, oh yeah, Kanye West is like a big fan of those like early aughts Will Ferrell comedies and like samples them in a bunch of his songs.
Oh
stuff.
My god, that's right.
I assume he's a fan because they're like in, you know,
right. He's like, I love Wedding Crashers. Like, yeah. Kanye, like, never laughed harder than when he's on Wedding Crashers.
Which is so sweet. And it's like, it's forget that, like, oh, it's like, what does Daniel Day-Lewis think is funny?
Yeah.
I'm so bad at recognizing people, too. And one time I was walking with friends. It's one of those things where everyone in LA is like, let's go hiking. And it's like a hot, dusty walk. And yeah. So I was on a hot, dusty walk with some comedian friends, and they spotted Johnny Knoxville, and I feel like, who is so handsome in person.
So handsome.
And I think, like, because he plays so slapsticky and goofy, you, like, lose sight of that he's, like, very symmetrically, conventionally handsome in
right.
addition to that. And I think that's true of, like, there's a lot of, like, when you're a TV star, I feel like you get accustomed to seeing, like, a level of that kind of, like, conventional hotness on TV. And then when you see them in person, you're like, oh, yeah, you play, like, a goofball on TV, and you're in the top three hottest people I've ever seen in real life.
Yeah. Like, even, like TV's, like, not hot people are, like, extremely hot against the background of normal people.
Like, whenever you see the people from the stars of Big Bang Theory not styled nerdy, and you're just like, what? You could have just got, like, real nerds, like, real goofballs. That's my, this is my, one of my many soapboxes that I get up on, is, like, when you hire Christian Bale to play, like, a schlub, right, like, in American Hustle, right?
He get like, a real schlub.
He got, like, a little schlubby, and he was bald and, like, had that funny comb-over wig, and it's like, you know there's real bald guys, and I know that there's, like, way bigger issues of representation in Hollywood, but it's so funny to me where they're like, oh, yeah, we got Christian Bale to get, like, slightly, to gain, like, you know, like, 25 pounds just to look like a regular dude and to wear a bald wig with a hair wig on top of it. It's like, you know, like,
take your pick.
30% of people just look like that.
Yeah. And it's, and then he gets, like, a whole spread in Vanity Fair that's like, how'd you gain 25 pounds? It's like, I want that interview. Like, someone asked me how I gained 25 pounds. Yeah. I'll tell you.
Oh, I'll tell you. I just sat still for 11 months and ate a small dish of ice cream every night.
Yeah. I ordered a lot of chips on Instacart and they're gone and more chips are coming later. Like,
where's my Oscar?
Right. Yeah,
oh, exactly. Just because I wasn't in a movie.
Right. Yeah. We're all being marginalized for sure. Like, it's time. Christian Bale, feel free to play a newsie. Feel free to play. He was Batman, right? At some point.
He was Batman.
Sure. But leave the schlubby, you know, bald people.
Let schlubs be
to
schlubs.
The rest of us. Let schlubs be schlubs. I want to see someone who hasn't showered in 3 days and is eating chips on television. Like, that's representation I want.
To me, it's like, it's so funny because there's like a few schlubs that like work a lot that, you know, like I would, no offense to him. I think he's a tremendous artist. Paul Giamatti, famous schlub. But like, do you think when Paul Giamatti sees Christian Bale doing Paul Giamatti face and like getting nominations, or you think he's like, hey, I already looked like that.
Exactly. Like Jonah Hill. Well, Jonah Hill, didn't he get like very cut for something recently?
I feel like he plays a lot of different weights.
And Seth Rogen, too. You know, and Knocked Up, he was that schlub. Yeah, they already had like broken that ceiling.
Yep.
They broke that schlub ceiling for themselves. and then for Christian Bale to come in and just say, yeah, I can gain 25 pounds. Well, okay, buddy.
We all
club.
Can.
Yeah, we all can. Show us something. Like, use that. Yeah. Show me something I can't do.
My hairline Christian is Bale. Not your costume, Christian Bale. Yeah.
I love that.
It literally is. But I don't, again, not a real problem. But whenever I see it, I'm like, this is so silly that they don't just go to UCB.
Right. Like, I can give you many names and all of the people who would love to have a role as a schlub.
Yeah.
They don't have to do anything differently. Great.
Yeah.
Schlub it up and get
schlub
paid.
It up.
Great. Yeah. Schlub it up. I love
Show
that.
Show some schlubs some love.
Yeah. Schlub love. I'm getting that on a bumper sticker and putting it all over my car. So, Josh, let me ask you about your your quarantine. I hate when we call it quarantine because like we all have left the house. Like quarantine
I've shifted to just saying like pandemic.
Pandemic. Yeah. Okay. So your pandemic shopping habits, have they changed? Have they stayed the same? Have they grown? Have they gotten lesser? Like what are you buying and how are you buying it?
We've been, so for our home, we've been doing more online grocery deliveries than ever before. Because normally we just kind of keep in the house. We keep in the house. Maris might have like a couple things delivered that are like a pain for her to physically acquire and carry from, from the grocery store or whatever.
Yep.
So that's definitely different. I'm like a big sneaker person in kind of an embarrassing way. And my year was, I went really slow because I like wasn't in need of shoes because I didn't hardly go outside, or I would wear like the same couple of old pairs of sneakers to like walk my dog at like 3 a.m. And you know,
I was gonna say, she is Busy still doing the 3 a.m. walking?
Yeah, she goes out at between two and three every night.
Wow.
And I would say in the last year and a half there have probably been five nights where she didn't need to go until like six or eight.
Wow.
Five times, and then another four or five times where Maris has gone, but like just because it's like outside in the city at 3 a.m. I go and it's just, I feel like someone's less likely to try to like put me in a van or something.
Sure.
Just like, again, this is my schlub privilege though. Yeah,
schlub privilege. No van wants you.
Kidnappable.
Right. That's true.
Or it's desirable. True.
Busy is very lax. She's maybe not the protector.
No, she does not. She's not.
She might let you go.
Yeah. Yes. She would just be like, if they took Maris, she would be so distraught. But if they took me, she'd be like, yeah, he goes away sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Bye. Okay.
So
you're not wearing sneakers out.
I didn't for a
while,
but I like kind of got back on that. And like around the holidays, I just did a lot of, fun purchasing. I was like buying holiday gifts for like relatives and friends on like a one for you, one for me basis.
For sure. Oh my God. Oh my God. Definitely. Yeah.
One
in, one out.
Yes. One in, one out. That's exactly right. And I usually like the way I'm dressed now, I've got, this is a new shirt because I realized I'd been mostly buying, like sweatshirts if I needed new clothes. Like I basically bought like a stay at home wardrobe for like work from home. And my job, even when I was going in person, is pretty like fashion permissive. So like I could have just worn crew neck sweatshirts to work all the time. But a lot of the time I go from, when we're in an office, I'll go from the office right to do stand up. And so usually I'll wear like a t-shirt or a button down with a cardigan or a hoodie over it. And, and I realized like, I gave away a bunch of clothes that I was like, these are pretty old and I'm not going to wear them for the foreseeable future. And so like lately I've been restocking a little bit with just the eye towards like, well, eventually I'll have to go outside again and I should have clothes that fit the body that I've Christian Baled myself into over the last year, which
I think we're all in that position.
I say that without shame or judgment, but it's just like, well, I guess I could keep this old shirt that I've had for 5 years and don't love, and like just like hope that someday magically either my size changes or the shirt size changes.
Yeah.
Like
I just put one on of us like, has got to change.
Yeah.
Who's
hey,
it gonna
shirt,
be?
You've really let yourself go.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's a very liberating feeling to allow yourself to be like, this is my body now, and I'm gonna buy clothes that fit it.
I did that with like, I saw a couple of corduroys and I was like, I don't know what size I am because I can't go try stuff on. So I like bought them in a size that I was like, maybe I'm still this size. And then I went like a size up on the waist and they fit perfectly and was like, you know, I had to order them a second time. I'm either going to return them or like give them away. Or I like don't know if the return thing passed. I'm a bad returner. That's part of me in shopping, especially if it's something I order online. If it's something I got in person, I'll go back. But if it's like a pair of pants that I got on sale for like $20,
and you have to like print a label,
and it's
like, you're not doing that.
Find an envelope, and it's like, oh, I'll just like find a friend who is the size that I was when I that I thought I was when I bought these pants.
Yeah,
but yeah, so I've been doing, but it was like it felt nice to instead of being like, I'm going to demand that my body conform to these pants, or like just wish, just be like, someday I'll finish these. It's like, who cares? Maybe I will, maybe I won't, but I'm going to, what I need right now are pants that fit the body that I have.
Yeah. And here's pants with a different number on them that fit. Yes. And then it like becomes like, very desensitizing.
And they look good, right?
Yeah.
They look, it looks better to wear clothes that are the size of your body.
It's a pretty novel idea. And it's a pretty crazy like epiphany to have in your 30s that you're like, no one actually knows what size you are, but everyone can tell if you're like trying to fit into pants that don't fit you. Like, I mean, that's just how it goes. And also like, yeah, I mean, I don't wear the same clothes I wore, you know, in fifth grade. Yep. And there's a reason for that. I'm a grown girl.
Yeah.
And we're all growing.
That's exactly right. And so I did, I got like a couple, and it was also like, and a lot of my shopping the past year has been like a band that I love can't tour, but they put out like limited edition merch. So like I'll buy a t-shirt. So I have like a bunch of new band t-shirts, which I'd like sort of weaned myself off of buying so many. And then like in the last year, I've bought like probably 4 or 5 like band podcast.
Sure.
Like, yeah.
What's your favorite one that you got in the last year?
I got, excuse me, sorry, I'm drinking seltzer and it's making me.
No, you're fine. Yeah. it's a crazy Monday here.
I got there's a couple. I got this one that is Open Mike Eagle and Prince Paul, who are both artists that like hip hop artists that I love, did a podcast together last year called What Had Happened Was, and it's just Open Mike Eagle interviewing Prince Paul for 13 episodes about different projects. And nice. Then there's like a really wonderfully designed kind of like peach t-shirt, or I got in peach with like you, there's like a face that is like an illustration and the name of the show, and I think that's great. And then the other one is the Hold Steady, another band that I love. They
love the Hold Steady.
Yeah, so great. They
so good.
They had they put out a shirt for the 10-year anniversary of their album Heaven Is Whenever, and it's a bright orange shirt with a record, like vinyl record that you see, and underneath it says which is lyric from the song. It says, "Heaven is whenever we can get together, sit down on your floor and listen to your records." That's like printed around the record. And it just like the phrase "Heaven is whenever we can get together" has been like so relevant and resonant and like such an aching feeling. And and so I like love that. It's like a very bright, fun shirt that I can wear under a cardigan.
Yeah.
And I just like, it's just like such a good lyric, and I love the
band. And you'll have it like for so long, and it'll be like the shirt that was like the pandemic for you.
They did live stream shows. They always do like the first weekend in December. Last weekend in November, they play at Brooklyn Bowl for 4 nights, Wednesday through Saturday. And I've gone a couple times. I think one time I bought tickets and forgot that I was booked on the road and like gave them away to a friend. But they did live stream shows this year, and I bought the poster from the live stream, and we have that
nice.
Up. And I almost did it for another musician, Laura Stevenson, who I love. And we're going to see a live stream show of hers next week that she's doing like before Valentine's Day. But I was like, I can't fill the house with like posters of quarantine concerts. It'll just be like a bummer in a year. So we just got the one.
That's really funny. Yeah. And kind of true. Yeah. You'll have your little like time capsule.
Yeah, I like, and there's stuff that I purchased this year that I'm not like going to get rid of everything. Like I have all these sweatshirts that I like really like and, you know, would happily wear. Would wear them to work probably less on stage, just because I feel like it helps me when I do stand up to wear like a cardigan, because then people are like, oh, a cardigan guy. And and so I like, there's only so cool I can get away with dressing in life. And then to perform, I have to go like 2 notches below that.
But I feel like the sneakers are like big for you.
I love the sneakers, but the sneakers are, that's like, there's like a level with sneakers of, if like some of it is like, if you know, you know, right? Like where you can get a pair of Jordans, or, you know, if they're not super ostentatious or super like, if they don't stand out in a way that people aren't used to seeing, they're just like, oh, that's a nice sneaker. Where it's, You know, it like takes so much. Like, I have a few pairs that are like really ridiculous looking that I love, and that's silly. But even on me, people are like, oh, that's a silly bright sneaker. But it's not like, it's not like if I started wearing like, especially unless you go into the fashion ones, or like, you know, if you wear like a sneaker with a Gucci branding on it, people are like, that's Gucci that
right.
he DM'd Caroline in right. 2012.
Right, it's Goosey. It's my Goosey sneaks.
It's the Goosey sneakers. Yes. But, like, I think mostly they're, like, kind of fun. Unless, you know.
Yeah.
But what's weird is, sorry, this is, like, a tangent. I have one pair of Yeezys, which are super comfortable, and it's, like, kind of goofy, because, like, I feel like Kanye is such a fraught figure. I wish him the best of health, obviously. I don't want, I just don't want to sound like I'm like talking trash,
no,
but he is
I
like
know.
A political, like it's weird to like wear the specifically branded apparel of like a person who's politically who's like so volatile.
Yeah.
Not that like everyone who owns every major clothing label isn't a monster, I'm sure, but
sure.
I have this one pair of Yeezys and like there are, I think if you're not like a sneaker person at all, you just see those and you're like, those look like slippers. What are you doing? You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like some things are like the way the shoes signify is like very interesting to me.
Yeah.
And I feel like no matter what shoes I wear, people aren't like, that guy thinks he's real cool.
Right. No, And I think the sneaker thing is that like either people are going to say, oh, like cool shoes, or like, oh, that's interesting. And then people who know sneakers will be like, I know what that is.
But it's not like it's not like if I go to perform at a club and I'm wearing like a pair of Jordan 11 retros, someone like most people will see me and be like, oh, this is like the Jordan 11 bread colorway and the Space Jam ones. And he thinks he's a part of this thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like he's really trying to be cool right now.
yeah.
Which I'm not. And I still try to be like pretty like respectful of sneaker culture at large and not be like, I'm great and like this is all my birthright or whatever.
But still with sneakers too and shoes, and I think like we can all relate to this, is that like while all of our bodies have been like weird in the last 11 months, like most of our shoe sizes have stayed the same.
Yep.
So it's kind of like something you can rely on. And yep. I get like I'm the same way with like buying bags or buying shoes, in that I don't have to worry so much, and then I don't have to like go down this like mental like in need of a Josh Gondelman-esque pep talk when I'm like, oh, I bought this shirt because I thought I was like, I have memories of being this size and I am no longer. Shoes always fit and bags always fit on your
body. That's so true. Because you get a t-shirt, right? And it's like, we got sweatpants. I like screwed myself though trying to be like honest with my body. We got sweatpants for like an end of the year gift at work, and everyone got to order this pair of sweatpants, which is very nice. I was like really psyched about it. And I was like, should I go medium or large? I think like some kinds of sweatpants, a medium is like the size of my body. And then in some, it's like more comfortable to wear a large. And I was like, I don't want to go medium out of some like vanity or like clinging to my early 20s and then have pants that I can't wear. Cause that's the bummer, right? Is you order something too small because you like get the sizing wrong, and then you're like, well, now I have to figure out what to do with this dress shirt, and I need to acquire another one that fits me.
Right.
So I was like, I'm gonna go large, and that way, at the very least, they'll be wearable, even if they don't fit.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll at the very least be able to wear them to do errands and stuff. They're the biggest pants. They're like they fit like JNCOs. And I can't wear them. And I was like, I was just trying to like, I thought I was making the safe move of like going a size up.
Yes.
But like, nope.
There is no way to win in the small, medium, and large game.
Yeah.
Like if a brand offers just the three sizes, I'm like, this isn't going to work for me because I don't trust you.
Yeah.
I don't trust how you put that letter on that pair of pants.
Sorry.
No, go ahead. I feel like I feel that just very hard.
There's also the places that have, they give the measurements of the model. Jason Concepcion, I don't know if I'm saying his last name right. I just have seen it written down. But he's Network on Twitter, who he's great, like a wonderful dude and such a funny, great writer, smart writer. And he tweeted something about that like a couple of weeks ago about like the size medium model, 6.5 feet tall, weighs 8 ounces. And you're like, yeah. Okay, but like, it doesn't help to know the dimensions of a person if they're unlike my dimensions.
Yeah, yeah. Like, right. And all, it's always women is like, the model is 5'10 and wearing a size small. It's like, good for her. Great. Yeah. It's like, I don't have that.
That's like, so you're only selling, like, that's not what most people are like.
Yeah. So you pick someone whose body is very different from the average.
Yeah. Like an atypical, not wrong, but like.
Not wrong, but not.
5'10 is not a small person.
In the world of statistically what people look like and how people are sized. Yeah. 5'10 small is like, oh, I've never seen that before. But it's all over when you're trying to buy like a shirt.
Yeah.
That's all you see.
Yeah. It's like, I need one that's like. You know, this, the model is 5'9", let's say his license says he's 5'11" still, for some reason he is probably weighs like 195, but like hasn't checked in a while. So says 185, like that's what I need as a,
an honesty size chart.
Yeah.
I like brands that there are some brands that do this and I wish more would, but like you can plug in your thing and they'll like they have yeah. like such a variety of
oh,
models.
That's smart.
You can be like, oh, yeah, no, that does look like my body. Because yep. even if it's someone, especially for women, like, oh, like the size, the model is wearing a large, except her waist is like snatched and it's like so small. And you're like, OK, well, that's also not my body. Like, I don't just have yes. like a huge butt and then like a Barbie waist. Like, yes. show me something I can work with here. I am so excited that you brought something sneaker related.
Yes.
I need to know also, just I need like the abridged version of whatever story this is. What is the craziest journey you have been on for a pair of sneakers?
Ooh. Let me think. Oh. It's because I'm not like a big like stand in line person. I'll like occasionally I'll. Like make sure if I know something's dropping online, I'll make sure that I'm like awake and at my phone when I know it's dropping.
That's a lot more than most people do. So that's cool.
True. Yeah. So that's like my level of seriousness. I'm not okay. like camping out. I did negotiate when the Beastie Boys for the 30th anniversary of Paul's Boutique put out these like vegan Adidas Americanas, and they say they've got the Beastie Boys logo from the Check Your Head album on the tongue, and they say Beastie Boys on the back with the little nice. Adidas logo, and they're like, I was like, you know, I really like these, and I was celebrating something, I think it was like right before my book came out, and I was like, I'm gonna get myself a nice pair of shoes, and I went on StockX, where you can like, it's like an auction, it's like eBay just for sneakers.
Yeah.
And I negotiated, they'd been, the people were like really ambitiously pricing them for like, they thought they were gonna make a ton of money, and I negotiated the guy down by $200.
Wow.
Which was, you know, like, it wasn't, and it wasn't like they were $3,000 and I got them right. for $2,800.
That's
I was
amazing.
Much lower than that. You know what I mean? It was like, I still paid like more than a sticker price or whatever. But
sure.
This guy was like, I'm going to get him for, it was like something like 500. And I got him down either to 300 or, which is still like so much. But I was like, my book is coming out. I'm so excited. Maybe it was under 300.
No, I mean, to get it down to 300
yeah.
is like such a huge percentage off. That's
what,
just like a
it
lot.
It was at least 40%. It felt great. And it was like an overpay. But it, again, it was like, I really love these. I love the Beastie Boys so much. They're so meaningful to me. And
yeah.
so I'm going to try to, if he hadn't come down that far, I would have just like kept paying.
Sure.
He was like 500 and I was like 250 and he was like 380 and I was like 300. And then I saw the notification that he had
accepted it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cause it's, which is different than eBay, right? Cause on eBay, it's just the highest bid gets it. But on this, you haggle.
You can like go
like
back
a,
and
like
forth.
A marketplace. Yeah.
It makes sense. And it probably means that he was ready for that and just like priced high, knowing
yes.
that either he would get lucky and he'd get like a sucker to pay yep. what he wanted, or like he knew that he'd have to come down a bunch.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
I felt terrific. It was a thrill. I got a shoe and I got a successful haggle. It felt
and you
great.
Had a book.
And my book came out. Yeah.
What a good day for you.
A great
day.
Just a banner day.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So, Josh, tell us what you brought. What is your G-Thanks Just Bought It item?
So, I have a bunch of these because, okay. I mean, it's very rare that I think you need one. it is a plastic shoe storage cube, basically. It's like a clear plastic cube. It's, if you are a Desus and Mero viewer at all, it is what Desus has in his background, basically.
Nice.
It's where he has like stacks of these, and I don't have as many as he does, but it's they're stackable plastic boxes, basically. And so they stack really nicely, one on top of the other. They're like, I think they're like perpetually on sale for $8 from $10 on the container stores website. And so you can get kind of like, if you have a bunch of shoes, so the benefits of them, they're clear plastic with a little drop down door that you open to.
Oh,
like,
wait, show me. So yes. You don't even have to like pull it down.
No.
Off
so
the
you
shelf.
Open the front.
Cool.
So
yeah.
So these, the two benefits are, you know, if you stack boxes of shoes, then you have to like
get
like
the boxes
shimmy one
down.
Out, yeah, to open them. But these, you drop down the door on the front and you just pull the shoes out. And it's a way to like, you know, I feel like if you have a bunch of shoes that you like to display, it's a nice way to like have shoes in, even just in your bedroom, that are like visible when you're not wearing them. Because I feel like so much shoe storage is, you know, like maybe a hanging thing on the back of a closet door or a rack.
Or like a big rack that's taking up a ton of room in your house.
Mm-hmm. And this is like kind of a fun way to like display, like it's like kind of stylish storage.
Yeah. It's cool. I mean, you look at those Real Housewives closets and they're like rooms that just like have bags, you know, lined up, and you can see them and you have all the shoes and like, yeah, this feels like an everyman's way of doing that.
Yeah.
If you just have a little bit of shelf space, you can put up a bunch of boxes.
It's pretty affordable. And it's also like, I have them kind of in the corner of my room, so I have a pretty big tower of them, but I got like 8 or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that's a little expensive, but it is also like for what it essentially is like a unit of functional shelving for 8 pairs of shoes. And then I have like a couple shoe boxes on top of that. And then like a pair of shoes, like naked sitting on top of that. So it's
nice.
Like, it's, you don't need as many as you have shoes, but it is, if you have a bunch of shoes and you're like, oh, you know, I don't wear these that often, but I aesthetically like them and wish there was a way to like showcase them even to myself a little bit. Like, but it is the kind of thing where like, if the office that we have in our apartment were just mine, like we have some storage for stuff over in the side, but like, I think I would, if it were just my office and I didn't share it, I think I would have like the shoe corner in here instead of in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And it would be like a fun corner of the office.
I love that for a few reasons. One, obviously the affordability of it, like $8, between $8 and $10, like makes sense. Because you could also see someone trying to push those for like $29.99.
Totally.
And you're like, I'm not going to spend $30 on a box. Thank
right.
you. But I will spend between $8 and $10. The second thing is that I keep all of my shoes in actual shoe boxes.
Yep.
So I don't remember what shoes I have. Like I literally like took out a box thinking that I had like put something that were not shoes in the box, like papers or like something.
Yep.
And I was like, oh my God, I haven't seen these shoes in 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it all comes like rushing back to you. You're like, I own these.
Yes.
Like I haven't thought about these in a really long time. So I would love to see what was in front of me.
It's really, it helps you be mindful of what you own and less like, oh, do I need new shoes? You're like, oh, it's all out here in front of me displayed. Right. And like, again, if you get 9, right, like it's $90, or like I think maybe we got them on sale one time for $6 a piece, and then that becomes like very useful, right? Like 10 of them is $60, and that's like such a nice unit of kind of like aesthetically pleasing plastic, but like aesthetically pleasing furniture.
Like doing California closets for like a fraction of the price. Like
yeah.
you are making your own sort of setup.
Yeah. And I think that's really, like, again, it puts, you get the shoes because you like them, especially if you have, you know, again, I have too many pairs, but like if you have a few pairs and you're like, oh, I like the way these look, I have several pairs. It's helpful. It keeps you mindful of what you have. And it's a way to like enjoy them when they're not on your feet,
as
it is like, I think like when storage is really visually appealing, that's really fun.
And so much of sneakerhead culture, I think, is that like a lot of people don't wear all the sneakers that they get. Like a lot of people like showcasing them. They're like pieces of art, or they're, you know, they're like so rare or so limited edition that like, of course you're not going to wear them out in the snow. But then what's the alternative? Like literally putting them in a box and shoving them in a closet, like where no one can see them.
Right.
Then you might as well make it sort of like a visually appealing, I don't know, that would feel good to me. Like looking at a thing that I bought that makes me happy, even if I'm not using the thing for its intended function, like as a sneaker, like even looking at a clear box of like shoes that I really loved would make me happy.
Yeah, it's nice. I feel good about it. I'm like, oh yeah, I love those. And if I'm like getting dressed, I'm much more likely to like reach for something that I can see than be like, oh, should I dig out this shoe box? Like it's like at the bottom of a pile. They're very functional. And so
I love that.
Yeah.
That's such a good recommendation, Josh.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, can you show it to me again? Because I have like an idea for myself and I'm like going to share it with people. And I think this is like not a cool way to use these. But and then so the door pulls down.
Yes.
Okay. So here's, oh my, genius. So I feel like these boxes would also be good in like your utility closet. Mm-hmm. Like, because I always feel like I'm pulling down things like boxes of batteries or like dog bags or, you know, stuff. And then like four boxes have to come down before it. And I don't know which box is which. And I feel like if you could just open a little door and grab a thing of batteries without having to dismember your entire cleaning closet.
I think that would be so nice.
Like light bulbs. You have them
in a stack where, I bet that kind of thing exists for like, oh, I have a bunch of phone chargers and headphones in this one. But
Dan needs that. We just have cardboard boxes full of cords that don't go to anything. So maybe I'll just get him a, Valentine's Day is very soon. Maybe I'll just buy him a box for his cords.
A drawer that's full of like headphones and stamps and then like scissors and Sharpies. And
an old battery and like, and
like plunge your hand into it. It's like hazardous.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always like the first thing that like people see when they come to your house, because it's like on a, it's like in a coin tray.
Oh,
so it's
like
a bunch of like sticky pennies and like a screwdriver that came with an IKEA
and like
furniture
a physical
thing.
Gift certificate for a restaurant with like $6 still on it.
Like your AMC like gift card that you got in like 1999.
Sticker that came with a sticker that came with a pair of headphones you bought that you're like, maybe I'll put this on someday. Right. And it just sits there for years until you move and you throw it away.
Yeah, that's so true.
A screw that fell out of something.
Yes. And you're like, I'll just put this here in case one day we figure out that one of these pieces of furniture is missing a screw.
And you just have this hideous dish that's just what is this? An appetizer plate for goats? Like, what are you doing? You're just going to feed them this like tin can and like...
And it's not ever stuff that's like hard to acquire should you need it.
No. Nope.
You're like, what are you saving that particular screw for? Like you can get any type of screw at any time of day. That's America, baby. Like you go to Home Depot. It's open.
Same
Lowe's.
With like one AAA battery. It's also the kind of thing where I never look for stuff in this dish, right? Like
no.
I always put it there like, oh, in case I need it. But then when I need a AAA battery, I like look a couple places where I'm like, oh, this is where we keep our full containers of batteries, and then blah, 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 and then I'm like, I'm just gonna go buy a new thing for $3 or $6.
Yep.
And
did that last week. Yep.
It's terrible. Yeah, that just like
one day I will uncover 400 absolutely perfectly fine batteries that I just like have put somewhere, and you know when you put them there the first time you're like, I'll never forget that I put them here, and then you never know where they are.
Yeah, I'll never forget like Kate never let Jack go, or what's her name, Kate Winslet. Kate, but who's the what's the character's
Rose
name? Rose never let Jack go. Yeah,
I'll never forget my battery location.
Yeah.
It's true. Some influencer, and I'll find it and I'll send you a link and I'll put the link in the show notes, has this thing that's like a battery storage. And I literally screenshot it. Do you ever screenshot things on your phone? You're like, I'll go back to this. But you like never really go back.
No, never. And then you're just, when you're looking, you're like, oh, where's that photo of my dog I wanted to send to somebody?
Yeah.
And then you're just like, why do I have this picture of like someone like, else, like a palm tree someone else took a picture of on vacation?
Right. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, because there was a plastic bag in it. You want to make fun of them?
Yeah.
exactly. You know what I got for storage? That this was not, it didn't rise to the like must recommend of the shoe storage.
But okay.
This is from Jane Marie's newsletter.
Uh-huh.
It was a magnetic knife easel. And so it stands against the wall on my counter and the knives stick to it.
Sure.
Magnetism. And and that's, I like that. That's like another example of like aesthetic storage. And it's not the, I like it better than keeping the nice knives like in a box in a drawer and like shuffling through everything without, and then like drying it off so that it, like, before I put it in this box that it came in, I like just being able to like towel it off and then stick it to the thing. It is a little big for how few knives that we need to, like, I'm not running like a sushi restaurant,
right? So right. Like, it's not like Benihana in your kitchen,
but it is like a fun piece of storage,
especially in New York. Like, anything you can put on the wall that is not on your counter and your drawers is a plus. Do you guys use like pegboard too for your?
This one is on the counter though. It sits on the counter.
I like that. Pegboard.
Yeah, so it's like a little it's like it almost looks like a laptop stand, but it's like. Or like a music stand even, and it just sits on the counter and the knives stick to it. So it is like not super space efficient,
but it
is
cool.
It like keeps things out of the drawer. Like our drawer space is at kind of a premium, and so it keeps it on the counter. And it's like, that is where I need it. Like when I need a sharp knife for cooking 5 nights a week, it's nice to like, it's right there. And then I cut and then I just wash it off and stick it back there instead of like figuring out the storage and putting it in a sheath.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm going to fight someone with it later.
Instead of putting it on the tray with the batteries and the coins.
Yes, exactly.
Storing knives.
But I do like that. It's like a fun piece of storage and it's like kind of a nice looking thing to have on the counter as opposed to it. Also, we have some things that are like plugged in next to it and it's like a nice shield for the wires.
Yeah, that's not, wow, like a multi-functional functional thing.
Yeah,
is very nice.
It's like an entertainment center for utensils.
I feel like we're all very like so intimately familiar with our homes now that I feel like one of the cool things that people are doing is like really making their homes livable for themselves because this is all we got. So like life should not be harder at home.
We have so many blankets, just like like $12 Target blankets that we just like that we keep acquiring and just like our couches. It looks like where we look like, because we have, instead of a long couch, we have two like perpendicular love seats and so it looks like we're like 8-year-olds who just had a slumber party, like at all times, because nobody ever comes over. So it's not like we like fold them and drape them nicely. They just like are always on the couch because you can't. It's just us.
It's truly, I put this on Instagram the other day and I was just like, I feel like I'm constantly cleaning my house and nothing ever looks different. Like, there's so many forks in the sink.
Yep.
I keep washing them, but there are more forks and everything's everywhere and it's always like my stuff, so I'm always like, Dan, like we need to do like a big clean. He's like, this is all your shit, like this is all your life out here. But I feel like the blanket thing is very real. I did just recently purchase a basket in which to put the blankets because we have many.
Nice.
And at some point it just looks very Princess and the Pea to have like 19 blankets, like even when they're folded, like stacked on the couch, like so high, like no one, who needs that?
I love it.
It's a real journey. Josh, I can't believe how long we've been talking. This was really wonderful and I'm very excited to buy like a million of those boxes and just reorganize everything. If it can't fit in that box, I don't need it, you know. That's where I'm going.
They're so fun. I wanted to do something practical and
I like
little.
That
yeah,
I think that's gonna go far. Josh Gondelman.
So.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, I hope so.
It will. Josh Gondelman, nicest man on the internet, such a funny guy, such a great person. The last person who's going to get the vaccine in America.
The very last.
The very last.
So much
Your
after
cat
OJ.
Is first. Yeah.
so except far, for like the months teens were smoking OJ. It. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming. Tell everyone where they can listen to Make My Day and watch Jesus and Mero.
So Jesus and Mero is on Showtime on Thursdays and Sundays at 11. And there's lots of stuff online from it if you don't have Showtime yet. And then Make My Day it's wherever you listen to podcasts, and it's new episodes come out every Tuesday. So we've had just really amazing guests from Mike Birbiglia, Z-Way, John Hodgman.
Amazing.
Yeah, just like really wonderful people. I just like mostly have people that I love to talk to and goof around with.
The best part about having a podcast, just call your friends.
It's a game show, but there's only one contestant, so they all right.
And it's a nice game show. Yeah, low in stress. That. It's just, I mean, just like following Josh online, it's just like a nice bomb to your soul. Everything you. Positive. I can't wait until the day you snap and those pep talks become real mean.
I've been so cranky online lately, and I've like really had to be mindful of like, I'm just being too cranky and nobody needs this. I've been like so, just like, not like mean, just like cranky about
just
stuff.
Just cranky. Like, yeah, like we're all getting curmudgeonly.
Like about like, WandaVision, where I'm like, oh, so now there's a TV show with 3 days of straight of required viewing I have to do right. to understand what's going on in this TV. Like, no, I refuse.
I will not do that. You I can't shan't make me.
And just, yeah, just like little fussy things about like, yeah, just me being, I feel like as much as people are like, oh, nothing happened this year. And I'm like, no, I aged. People are like, oh, this year doesn't count for aging. It's like, I aged 37 years.
I doubled it. I'm now deep in my 60s.
Yeah. Like, I'm like so much cranker. I've turned into Andy Rooney. Just I fully Rooney-fied.
You got Rooney'd.
I got Rooney'd.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's going to happen to all of us are going to emerge vaccinated. You obviously last.
Last.
And we're all just going to be like, wow, we all look terrible. Like, you look terrible. I look terrible. We look old.
That's my plan. This is, again, as a man, I get off a little easier doing this. But I've started doing a light skincare because I don't like to be dry and flaky. But in terms of wrinkling, my plan is to look progressively worse and eventually be dead. And that's my regimen.
I kind of love that. You could also take, my mom jokes that this is her thing that she does, but she loves to say when people ask how old she is, she loves to say that she's 10 years older. And then people are like, oh my God, you look amazing. But she's actually
that's
10
so
years
funny.
Younger.
I just
so just start telling people you're like 58. And people are like, oh my God.
You look, they'd be, you but look the, what great. If they don't? What if they're like, that checks out? Which nobody says that when you tell them how old they're.
It backfires like the first time.
Yeah. They're like, ooh, that's a hard 58.
I'm yeah, just like, they're like, oh, younger than I thought. And you're like, shit.
Like, are you Christian Bale trying to play a 58-year-old in a movie?
This is for like a part hell. Or.
But that is, that's my, it makes, it's very soothing. To
amazing.
Because like, I've been looking at my face so much this year. Yeah. Because I'm always on phone calls and at home. And I'm like intimately familiar with my nose in a way that I wasn't before.
Sure.
But like I've started just using the like drugstore lotion that my wife has had in the bathroom. And I'm like, oh, this, I can use this. My forehead is a little dry and crackly and like under my eyes, like just like winter cracking and peeling. But then when I'm like looked at the corners of my eyes and I was like, there's a wrinkle like crow's feet. Is that, that's where the crow's feet they sit, right? Yes. They stand on the corners of your eyes.
Yes, that's it. Yep.
And I looked at that and I've got a little of that coming on and I was just like, well, someday I'll be dead.
Yeah, like, right.
It was a very, again, as a man, there's not like a pressure to be, this is my privilege in terms of,
this is your privilege. It's so true.
This is my skincare privilege, is I sometimes forget whether pores are good or bad.
Oh my
when
God.
Someone's like, oh, I can't see your pores. I'm like, oh, are you alive? Are you okay?
Is that good?
Is that a good thing? Yeah. That's like this level of skincare privilege.
This is like Dan texting me from the other room in, I don't know, September, October, and saying, my hands are really dry. Like, my hands are really dry. And I was like, yeah, you can use moisture. Like, is there any way to fix that? I'm like, you should use moisturizer. And he goes, okay, how does it work? Like, just put on your hands, man.
Yeah.
How much do I put on? It's like, wow. Like, women, I have a different bottle for every single problem. And you're like, I found some lotion in the bathroom and I just rub it on my face.
Yeah, that's what I do. It's,
I love that for you.
Most of my problems, I just am like, my solution is someday I'll be dead. Yeah. Most of them.
It's honestly a very relaxing way to live. I might adopt that. I really like it.
Thank you. It's not my imminent plan. Like, it's not like, Josh, there's dishes in the sink, and I'm like, someday I'll be dead.
Sure. It's a good big picture reminder.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, well. God. I mean, my whole thing is like, well, no one can see me anyway, because I'm just in
it
my
rules.
House.
Yeah, that rules. I have been, for this, and I had a couple other phone calls today, and I've, like, gotten dressed and, like, put on...
I appreciate
you know, jeans
that.
Like I would wear to like a regular meeting or podcast or whatever, oh. As opposed to like business.
What I'm wearing,
on top.
Which is the sweatshirt I slept in too.
I love, but I'll do sweatshirt, but like pants on the bottom that nobody will see.
Wow, but you know it's there.
I'm giving a wearing pants performance.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, and may we all give wearing pants performances in 2021. Josh, you're the best. I'm so happy
you're
that you came on the show.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun. It was such a pleasure to chat with you. I miss you and Dan now that you're across the country, and now that I miss everyone.
I miss you guys too. We were like, we'll come back to New York all the time. Guess not. When we come back, we'll obviously have a dog in tow. We would love just let them hang out.
Yep.
We need our dog to fall in line with some elder, wiser, jellical dogs. So we'll call you up.
Yeah, please. Busy loves. She's a perv. She'll just sniff. She'll sniff butts. She doesn't know how to play, but she'll
love
sniff
that.
A butt all day long.
My dog will love that. She keeps finding dogs on the street, and like, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter how old, she wants to sniff a butt. So they'll get along great.
That's great. Yeah.
Great. Josh, this was great. Thank you so much. I appreciate
it.
Tell Maris I said hi.
I will.
And, you know, hang in there. I think your recommendation was like so great. Here, I'll start recording.